Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. This is the episode for April 6th, 2009, and on this week's episode, we have an interview with Regina Taylor from Magnolia, now playing at the Goodman Theater. Also, we have Chicago's theater news for you, so get ready, and let's talk theater.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. My guest this week is Regina Taylor, who is a playwright, a very famous actor, and a director. Her new show, Magnolia, opened at the Goodman Theater, and hello, Regina.
Hello.
Tell us about Magnolia.
Magnolia is a play set in 1963, Atlanta, Georgia. It's about the seismic changes that are happening in the country at that time. You have two lead characters, a black man who is a realtor who comes from this estate, the Magnolia Estate. He was born there. And you have a white woman, Lily, who is also born on this estate. It deals with race relations. It deals with gender. It deals with changing of foundational changes that are happening in the country.
Especially in 1963 was one of the pivotal years.
Yes.
For all that. So give us a little more detail, because this is an interesting premise. So they both own the building, or how,
no,
what's their relationship between
them? They both come from this place.
Okay.
Thomas was born here on the Magnolia Estate. His great-great-grandparents were slaves on the estate. He has now become a very rich realtor in Atlanta, Georgia, living on the black side of town, Sweet Auburn. It is in this time of segregation that you have this Atlanta that has a very rich background in terms of its black citizens. It was called the Black Mecca of the South, in that in this terrible time of segregation, it was in Atlanta that blacks could own their own. They had their own policemen, they had their own banks, they had their own lawyers, at a time when other parts of the South, black people were being pushed out if they owned their own.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. Wow.
So here you have this very successful black man who is looking back at where he came from. And it is at this time that Lily Forrest is coming back on the occasion that the place that she was born is now in foreclosure. How do you save that place? How do you save that inheritance?
And she was the owner, but losing the place?
Her family owns it.
Her family,
it.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And they're losing it.
And they're losing it. Yeah, it's in foreclosure. It is the year before 1962, where you had John Glenn orbiting the Earth for the first time. You had him coming back, this astronaut coming back to this Earth that is in upheaval. Territory is being rearranged and challenged. You have the sit-ins, you have the marches, you have this tide that is sweeping this nation in terms of social changes.
I remember it well. I was a freshman in college. Yes,
yes.
It was, yeah.
Technological changes.
Yeah.
And the basic foundations are being challenged, being questioned. It is as if you know that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. We know that as a surety. When basic assumptions, sureties that we don't question are snatched away, what do? You start questioning your basic foundation. You start questioning yourself. And it is in this time of change, that you have these individuals questioning their stance, questioning themselves.
And Magnolia now is in the white area.
The Magnolia Estate is situated a half hour outside of Atlanta proper.
Okay, so it's like an old plantation?
Yes, it is. Oh, okay. And I was doing the research on this, and I started, when I first started working on this piece, I wanted to write something about Atlanta, Georgia, because it is the birthplace of Martin Luther King.
That's right.
How did this man come from this place? What was it about this place that inspired his greatness and inspired his questioning of the world and taking on the world?
Right. It all started in Atlanta, didn't it? Yeah, pretty much.
It was that looking at the American dream, starting with how he viewed the American dream, Martin Luther King, who marched on Washington in 1963 and gave his famous speech, I Have a Dream, about this nation, about my children, what will happen in the future in terms of changes, in terms of progress. So I wanted to look at the state of Martin Luther King's dream, looking back on where we came from and where we are right now. In the midst of doing the research, in the midst of beginning writing the play, Obama happened.
Hmm.
And now we have this black man who is not marching on Washington, but inhabiting Washington, living in the White House, and he comes from Chicago. So I think it's really wonderful that we are premiering this piece in Chicago, Illinois, at the Goodman Theater.
Yes, I'm hoping that he comes to see it.
I invite him to come. Absolutely,
it's not impossible. And this would be the kind of play I think that he would come to see.
Yeah, it is about change in this country in 1963 when those walls, those foundations, those institutions that we thought would always be there, didn't question that they would always be there, are coming down. And it has great parallels in terms of what's happening right here, right now, today.
Yes, I can see that. And let me ask you this. Tell us about some of the casting, because you have a couple of unique actors in this show.
Yeah, playing the role of Thomas is John Jelks, and he is a Tony Award nominee. He's really great in the role of Thomas. He brings authenticity to this man who is both practical, who is a person who moves mountains one kernel of sand at a time. You also have Annette O'Toole, who is this wonderful actress, giving her voice to the role of Lily. When you see them on stage together, it's magic.
Well, they're two of the tops. I mean, Annette O'Toole goes way back.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was a teen star, and now the mature lady. And last time I saw her or anything, she was in the Superman, Smallville, I believe.
Right, series.
She was in that series. Wow, that's some terrific casting. And tell us about your director, well known to Chicagoans.
Yes. When I was thinking about a director for this piece, I was in New York City, and I went and saw August Osage County, and it was amazing. And after seeing it, I called my agent the very next day, and I said, I need to work with this woman. I think she is very powerful. She is. She has this really great eye. She is an amazing collaborator.
That's Anna Shapiro.
That's Anna about, Shapiro. Right? Yeah. That's right.
She is. Well, we Chicagoans know her very well.
Yeah.
She does a lot of work at Steppenwolf Theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's great. That was a great decision. Now, you've had a long association with the Goodman Theater. So
yes.
Tell us some of about that.
I've worked here for over 15 years now, and that was starting with the piece that I did for them. My very first piece was The Ties That Bind. It was two short pieces. And I've been here ever since with Bob Falls, the artistic director, inviting me in at that point to become an artistic associate at the Goodman. So I've done about a show every 2 years for them. And I claim Chicago as my own at this point. I love Chicago. I love the theater scene here. It's very varied, and you have audiences that support all these different voices in terms of theater.
Absolutely.
They're passionate about the arts here.
Yes,
they celebrate
are.
The arts here.
And it's not just like New York is more of a musical town. Chicago mm-hmm. supports dramatic theater.
They support dramatic theater. They support theater.
That's true.
They support the arts. You have wonderful museums. You have wonderful, if you walk around the city, public spaces that celebrate the arts. You have wonderful music, a great music scene here. I love it.
Great. So tell us some of the plays now that you did at the Goodman. I saw Crowns.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Oh, thank you.
And you directed that too, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did. I started Crowns at the MacArthur Theater, and it was a co-production with Second Stage in New York City. Was its first run, and that was about 7 years ago, and it's still going strong. It's one of the most done musicals in this country.
I didn't realize that. Good.
And it's about black women and the tradition of wearing their Sunday hats, and each hat has a story. It has so many stories cupped up under the brim that reveals a whole life.
Besides,
from weddings to funerals.
Besides
to
great music. I
yes.
learned a lot about it. I didn't realize that that tradition. Although, and in the audience, when it opened here at the Goodman, a lot of the folks came with their best hats.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, they had to make you feel. Now, you were those mostly original songs or were those traditional gospel?
Those were traditional songs. Okay. It was kind of an exploration of the history of spirituals, gospels in this country.
And I'll tell you, it really sang.
Oh,
wow. It was very good. And another play I liked, you did it, Dreams of Sarah Breedlove.
That was the last piece I did here.
Yeah.
Dreams of Sarah Breedlove was about the story of Madam C.J. Walker, who was one of the first self-made millionaires in female millionaires in this country. And she did that by selling hair care products for black women.
Yeah, that was quite a product. She was a tough lady.
Yes, she
yeah.
was. Very tough.
And a survivor. I mean, it's a testimony to the human spirit, but it's also a testimony to the strength of African-American women and,
yes.
and how they led so much of the advancement.
Yes.
Yeah. And I guess you relate to that a little bit, huh?
Yes, yes, I do.
Well, getting back to Magnolia, it opened, yes, it opened on March 23rd, and it runs until probably well into May, and it's at the Goodman Theater. Just go to the Goodman website, and you get all the information on it. And folks, this is the kind of work that you have to see. So getting back to Magnolia for a moment, you have
yes.
a couple of good local acts. John Judd is in the play.
Yes,
yeah.
he's excellent.
Yeah, he's one of our better acts. And you've got some good young players in town. So you,
yes.
you balanced the,
yes, you
the
have,
Chicago cast with bringing in a couple of major players.
Yes, you have John Judd. You have Ernest Perry,
yes.
who has worked with the Goodman Theater forever.
Yeah, he's one of our best.
Yes, yes, he is. As well as Tyler Abercrombie. You have a host of Chicago actors, both new to the scene and who are very well established here.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this: as a playwright with a unique association with the theater, as you have with the Goodman, how much are you involved with casting? You said you selected the director. Mm-hmm. You know, some playwrights, as soon as it goes to a producer, they're kind of out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even on a world premiere, I know some of them just almost lose control of it. How much hands-on are you on this process?
It's been a wonderful collaboration with Anna Shapiro, and she's very open and welcoming in this process. So it's a wonderful combination with director and writer that we have developed a great dialogue.
And it is more difficult, isn't it, with a new work?
It is that you are in process, and I love the process of writing for theater, which is different than writing a novel, a book, is that it's a very solitary thing to begin with, and then you hand it over to director, to actors, and to these really great and brilliant designers that we have, that you develop this relationship, this language together, the process being that what you bring to it as a writer is hopefully a good spine, a good heart, a good mind. You then turn it over to, and with your collaborators in this, people who flesh it out, giving it its flesh, its blood, breathing life into this piece.
How much rewrite is done once you... Like you might write a speech, or you and I have a little debate. Two characters are debating or arguing, whatever. And then you hear things that they're either having trouble getting out, they get tongue-tied about, or that it's conveying a different meaning, even if they play it exactly the way it should be played. How often do you change, like a line here or a word there?
Yeah, I think we have a top-notch cast. Okay. And so with that, you may have something in your mind in terms of when you wrote it. What you want is a cast that will surprise you in ways that you hadn't imagined, beyond your imagination. And in that, it challenges you in terms of looking at the piece to rearrange some things for their voice.
So you're open to that, the making the piece work?
Yes.
Okay. Because I won't name them, but I've talked to some playwrights that are just, you know, they fight for every line. Because they wrote it, and sometimes, and you can tell when those productions go up there that it didn't work. Hmm. You know, the actors are playing something and they're saying something else.
Hmm.
And usually you trace it back and find out that either the director or the playwright insisted that it go that way, even if it didn't work. So you obviously are very open to it.
Well, I think it is a collaborative process. Hmm. And you're being informed by the piece with each step. You're informed by the piece in the rehearsal room with the actors, with the director. You're informed by the piece when an audience comes. You hear it differently then, too. And with that new information, you go back and you look at the piece again and do your rewrites from that.
At what point is it finished? I know that's a tough question. I ask everybody that.
Well, at this point, the piece lives as it lives right now.
Okay.
And with that, it will grow during the course of the run with the actors.
Yes.
It is a new, fresh experience each and every night. That's the wonderful thing about theater.
And your past experiences after maybe a full run with top actors, you know, at a major production like the Goodman would produce, do you think by the end of that run, it's pretty much going to be the piece it's going to be?
The wonderful thing about theater is that it changes every night. It's not going to be the same from one night to the other. You have the same, as in music, you have the same notes every night. The interpretation of that is kind of alchemy, the relationship of the actors on stage and the audience.
I've noticed that in going back to see shows, because on major shows, sometimes I like to sneak in weeks later in the run. And you're right, it's usually better to use a value judgment, but it is different.
Yeah.
And it's usually tighter and usually a little more polished and a little more nuanced. They really do grow into the role.
Yeah, and I think particularly with these actors, I think it gets richer and deeper each time.
So let me ask you, did you do the selection of the casting, or if there was someone in there, at the final casting, are you involved in it and say, I want this person, or how does that work?
I think, again, that was the collaboration between myself and the director.
Great. Well, that's good. So it's good to hear that again. I've seen playwrights that have destroyed plays because they have to have a certain person in a role. And you're very open to making sure that the project, mm-hmm. you get the right people for the right roles.
I think that's what we've done with Magnolia.
Well, I can't wait to see it because I enjoy your work, and I believe that it's such a pivotal time, 1963.
Yes.
Been a number of people have approached that. Caroliner Change had dealt with that era. And in my memory, 1963 is one of the, I mean, you had the Kennedy assassin. I mean, so many things happened.
Well, it is that period of change and hope. It's before the assassinations.
Okay.
Where America is on this ledge of what's going to happen in the future. We don't know. Everything that we thought is being rearranged. What is going to happen? Will we survive this? We believe that we can.
I remember I was one of those 19-year-old kids. The optimism of youth.
Right, and you also have during this time you have this new president.
Yes,
and he is this Roman Catholic president. And this was something unheard of at that moment in time.
Wow, the parallels to today.
Yes, absolutely.
And do you feel we're in the same era? I mean, we're in the anticipation of what's going to happen with mm-hmm. Obama as president?
I think we are. There are parallels with 1963 with what's happening right now.
And yeah, I believe so, too. But I'll tell you what. Obama's a lot smarter than Jack Kennedy. Kennedy was an image, but in terms of, I mean, the man is impressive. And what do you think he would take from this play?
I think it is that one of the things about all of the characters in this play, coming from Atlanta, Georgia, and its symbol is this bird that rises from the ashes. Its symbol, it's emblematic of people who have weathered and are indomitable, and they have that spirit in them that no matter what, they will survive.
Yeah, how true that. So I think he would be inspired by this.
Yes,
because I know when people bring up about. You know, how he got there. He always starts out by saying the people that fought the battles
yes.
in the 60s were the ones that gave him the opportunity, that set up the opportunity for
yeah.
him.
And I think it's a great time to be able to look at our history, to look back on where we came from, to see where we are right now, to reframe the American dream in terms of our future. What are our hopes and aspirations for the children of today, for tomorrow? I think it's a wonderful time to have this play happen.
Yes. And
Magnolia is this tree that is deeply rooted. It is this tree that has these several shoots that no matter if you chop it down, no matter if you burn it to the ground, the root ball remains up under the ground, that it has these different shoots that can produce different types of trees that can blossom both white, blue-black, purple, yellow, red, and that is the American tapestry. The hues of America, and we're all connected up under the skin, the soil, deeply rooted. We're all intertwined in terms of our history, and we do have to deal with it.
Yeah, that's a magnificent symbol. I was going to ask you what the because I, being such a city guy, I have no idea what I didn't know if a magnolia was a tree or a flower or what.
Yes.
But that was beautifully put. Who do you think the audience is for this show?
Our audience is the city of Chicago. Our audiences are people who inhabit Chicago with their different faces.
What would teens or younger people take from the show?
I think it's very necessary for young people to see this play, to know this history, this American history, this history that we all share.
Yeah, because I remember asking different people reactions to different plays, and I'm blanking on the name of the black gospel musical that kind of poked fun at I'm blanking now. Anyhow, I wasn't sure if it was an offensive play, so there were some people around me. One was a minister, and I asked him, and he said, it's very important for us to see, and everybody to see, plays about our history, so we know where we came from and how important that is. I obviously, you agree with that.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And
I don't know which play you're talking about.
I'll think of it, and I'll put it in there. Because it was kind of a funny, hokey kind of a musical. I shouldn't have brought it up, but whatever. But but this play is a drama.
This play is a drama that has a lot of humor in it.
Oh, okay, good. Because we all love the laugh, especially at this time. The way the world is. So it's got its humor side to it.
Yes, it does, and it also has quite a bit of music from the time.
Oh, great! Yeah, I understand you have some of the sort of Bob Dylan-ish folksy kind of stuff in it.
Right, Bob Dylan to Twist and Shout.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. And what are your plans in the future? I know you're doing one of my favorite TV shows, The Unit.
Yes.
How is it to work with David Mamet? Somebody told me I have to ask that question.
Well, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this TV series was because of David Mamet and Sean Ryan, who are the producers of this piece. Sean Ryan coming from the TV show The Shield. Mm-hmm. And I knew that the work would be challenging. And what I received in the role of Molly Blaine is this black woman who is strong, who is intelligent, who is fierce, who is loyal.
She's the ultimate army wife.
All of those qualities, which I thought was very daring to be able to have a black woman be presented in this way on national TV.
Well, you're very strong in the role.
Oh, thank you.
Very charismatic. How is it to work with Dennis? Is it Haysbert?
Dennis Haysbert.
Talk about the big voice. I mean, everyone knows him as the voice of Allstate.
That's right.
But he's the star of the show, and he's quite an imposing figure.
Yes, he is. Yes.
How is he to work with?
It's been wonderful to see this marriage on TV. Again, one of the few black couples on national TV. Again, have this couple, which is a strong couple, them being united together, I thought again was a daring choice for the writers.
Yeah, and you guys carry it off rather well.
Thank you.
And the show is going to continue, right? Because I know there was some, as far as you know, well, it has to. It's really an action-packed show. So tell us what you have planned in the future, what you have. I know Magnolia, you're hoping Magnolia will move on to Broadway, you think, from Chicago?
I'm very happy with this production. Okay. I'm very proud of this production, the effort that has been put into it, and the people that are involved in it are really magnificent. In theater, it's very rare sometimes to have this grouping, this particular grouping of brilliant director, this astonishing cast, the amazing designers, to have that happen in Chicago at the Goodman Theater is very special to me.
Very good. And we can hope it, because New York's starting to find out that we start out some pretty good shows here. Yeah. So what are your plans for the future?
My plan after opening is to head back to Los Angeles, continue shooting on the unit, and then take a vacation.
How about 4 or 5 years from now? Are you going to continue to write plays? Do you want to direct some more? Or?
Oh yeah, I'll be doing all of that. I'll be writing, directing, acting, probably teaching as well.
Good. Is there a role as an actor that you're dying to play?
Well, you come across roles that are written by new writers. I like new plays and writers that are bringing their own unique individual voices to the piece. Those are the pieces that I look for.
Have you ever considered acting in one of your own plays?
I have, and that's really hard.
I know.
But I have enjoyed that in the past.
And you plan on doing that in the future?
Yes.
Great. Well, keep up the great work, because I've enjoyed your work, and I can't wait to see Magnolia.
Thank you very
and,
much.
And I'm sure it'll be a top play, because your other plays were very strong. And we need voices like you, because, you know, we lost August Wilson.
Mm. Yes.
And
there's a great American writer.
One of the greatest writers.
Yes.
One of my all-time favorites. And you're certainly up there as one of the new voices for the African-American people and as a playwright.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And I think the parallels, obviously, he influenced you. He influenced every
Absolutely.
Writer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But to writing from the more of the female point of view and carrying on his work, I think you should be very proud of that. And I think August would have been proud of it, too.
Thank you.
Did you ever meet him?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a huge fan of August Wilson and followed all of his works. I saw each and every play.
I'm missing one, and Court Theater's going to do it this year, mm-hmm. so I'll be 10 on it. And I had the honor of meeting him when he did Gem of the Ocean
yes.
here at the Goodman. At the reception, I had a chance to talk to him for about 15 minutes, and it was amazing.
Yes.
So keep up the good work, and folks, thanks for listening, and go see a play this week.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of April 6th, 2009. Porchlight Music Theater has announced its 15th anniversary season, with musicals exploring the challenges of growing up, the 2009-2010 musicals of Innocence and Experience. The season opens with the romantic charmer The Fantastics, which is the longest-running musical in the world, that will open September 13th and run through November 8th. The holidays will glow brightly with a world premiere production based on the classic story Miracle on 34th Street that opens this November 22nd. The grand season finale is Stephen Sondheim's fractured fairy tale, Into the Woods, that opens next April 11th and runs through May 30th. Porchlight Music Theater has been an Equity Theater since 2004. The company has already received a total of 29 Joseph Jefferson Award nominations, resulting in 11 Jeff Awards. More information is available on our website. Chicago Shakespeare Theater has announced its lineup of productions for the 2009-2010 season, along with some new affordable pricing opportunities. A three-play series of classics, renowned artists from around the world, and productions for the entire family set the stage for Chicago Shakespeare Theater's 10th season on Navy Pier. The subscription series includes Barbara Gaines directing Richard III, one of Shakespeare's most enduring works, that can be seen this September 23rd through November 22nd. Next, Associate Artistic Director Gary Griffin directs the classic comedy Private Lives by Noel Coward. That can be seen January 6th through March 7th. And then the subscription series concludes in the spring with Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. That runs next April 7th through June 6th. This World Stage series welcomes Ilotepi, a French troupe specializing in waterborne theatrical wonders. They will make their American debut with Water Fools, performing on Lake Michigan off the east end of Navy Pier this August 21st through 22nd. Chicago Shakes also hosts Druid, one of Ireland's premier theater companies, and their tragic comedy, The Walworth Farce. That'll be running this October 28th through November 1st. And on the 150th anniversary of Anton Chekhov's birth, the World Stage Series concludes with Uncle Vanya. That can be seen next March 17th through the 21st. The Family Series of Chicago Shakes includes a version of Disney's Aladdin, based on the 1992 animated film and complete with the original music. That'll be running from July 1st through August 30th. And in the new year, Short Shakespeare, The Comedy of Errors will be directed by David Bell. That'll run from next January 23rd through March 7th. For more information on all of Chicago Shakespeare Theater's productions and their 2009-2010 season, and some detailed information on their new pricing strategy, click on over to theaterinchicago.com. Fiddler on the Roof will be making a stop in Chicago, with legendary and original Broadway star Topol reprising his role of Tevye. That can be seen for a limited engagement from June 10th through the 28th at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts, aka the Oriental Theater. The Tony Award-winning musical is embarking on its North American tour, giving audiences a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see Jerome Robbins' masterpiece with its original Broadway stage direction, choreography, and complete with the star of the original West End production and the 1971 film, Haim Topol. Topol and Fiddler on the Roof were both nominated for the Academy Awards, and the show became a perennial hit since it first opened in 1964. Fiddler on the Roof's infamous musical numbers include the haunting Sunrise, Sunset, the rousing If I Were a Rich Man, the exuberant Matchmaker, Matchmaker, and the triumphant Tradition. Tickets for performances go on sale Friday, April 17th at 10 a.m. Again, that's this Friday, April 17th at 10 a.m. So get ready and find out how to get tickets on our website. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News podcast. Remember, you can find us here every Monday with more news ready for you to enjoy. So, until next Monday, that is the theater news from Talk Theater in Chicago, and I'm your host, Dustin Moat. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Regina Taylor for giving us the honor of interviewing her this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And also, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we will be here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next Monday, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you, Chicago, to keep talking theater.